at this time to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon everything that's said and done. I just, before we actually pray, I just want to say that this is not the message that I was going to share. I just felt when I heard the news that it was something in my spirit just went, sort of jarred, and I thought this is not the right message, and I was frantically seeking God for something different, something that would be more appropriate to this medium, and so I was praying, and God dropped this word on my heart. So very grateful to the Lord for helping us out of a jam as always. So it's really good. So let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just extol your magnificent name. You are wonderful. You are glorious. And Father, we just thank you that we can be found in your presence today, Lord, albeit via the internet. Lord, we're very grateful to you for the technology that can be used to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, even though we can't meet physically, we can connect via the internet. And so we ask, Lord, that there would be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon every home, every circumstance, every family, every situation. And so, Father, we pray that there would be an anointing upon the word. Pray that there would be a challenge of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, Lord, that it wouldn't just be the ramblings of man, but, Lord, that we would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting and challenging and speaking and encouraging and building us up. Lord, we so desire the interaction of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in everything that we say and do this morning. We ask, Lord, that the blessing of God would be upon everything that's said and done in Jesus' name. Just to check that we are recording, so praise God. So, right, amen, hallelujah. I want to just, I guess if you want to give this a title, it's a lesson from the mighty men. And we're going to be looking at the life of Daniel, but more specifically the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and trying to draw some lessons from their life and their commitment to the Lord, and see how relevant and applicable the lessons that they teach us. Even though it happened thousands of years ago, it is absolutely current and up to date and relevant to our circumstances. So I'm going to ask you if you would like to turn to the book of Daniel and that great prophetic book. And we're going to look at chapter 3, and I'll give you a little bit of background, and we'll focus in on verses 4 through 6. But so as you're turning to that, I really just want to set the stage for you. Nebuchadnezzar had built that towering image, and it was a massive thing. It was about 90 feet tall, and so he was having a party, and it was really something that he wanted to celebrate and show off his power, and it was a prestige thing. It was something that he wanted to declare to the nations and to all the surrounding kings just how great he was and just how powerful his kingdom was. And I'm just wondering if I could just ask Fee to close that curtain that's just blinding me a little bit. So sorry about that. But so that's the setting. The story is that the image has been set up, and they're going to have this a loud party, and it's absolutely fantastic. So so let's just read from verse 4. It's Daniel chapter 3 and verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Wow. It's incredibly difficult to know how we would react under those circumstances. But as I was starting to say, that this was the gala event of the year. And Nebuchadnezzar had called all his vassal kings and to the celebration, all the from every country that he'd conquered. This was a great, prestigious, and powerful event. The gathering was, you know, of all the dignitaries and the who's who in Babylon. It was really a power play to say, you know, look how great I am. I'm one of the most powerful kings on the earth, and I just want to impress you with my opulence and grandeur. Obviously, he didn't put it in those words, but that was the sentiment behind what he was trying to do. So he was saying, I rule over the greatest empire, and everything I do, it's great. He was really proclaiming his own might and thing. But when they came out with the proclamation that you've had to fall down and worship on the penalty of death, the Jewish people, I mean, for most nations around the world that Nebuchadnezzar had conquered, that wouldn't have been an issue. But for the Jewish people, this was a life and death issue, because God had commanded them that they shall have no other gods before them, that they will bow down. And if they do, God would be extremely displeased. They'd be cut off. And so it was a very difficult thing for them. So it was really a life and death decision to obey the most powerful man on earth, or to disobey or defy the God of heaven. You know, if you bowed down as a Jew, you were committing blasphemy. You remember when Moses gave the law, they were worshiping the golden calf, and judgment fell on them because of that. And 3,000 men were actually died when the law was given, because they were worshiping a golden calf. And so it was an incredibly difficult decision. The parallel is exactly the same for us today. You know, many people in today's world have compromised their beliefs. And, you know, we have to figure out whether we are going to serve the Lord and honor him, and live a life of holiness and commitment, and honor God with our words, our deeds, and our thoughts, or whether we're going to compromise and do what the world does and go along to get along kind of mentality and just live like that. And so this has been a problem throughout church history. In fact, if you look through church history and even to the current day, you see that much of the church today is scorned and ridiculed. In days gone by, the church was the authority of the land. The church made and broke kings. It was the powerhouse of God, because people reverenced the Lord. They feared the Lord. They did that which is right in the Lord. And even kings were humbled by the power of the church. But too much compromise has crept into church, and you have leaders and followers that have begun to live more like the world than followers of Christ. And as a result of that, the church has lost power, it's lost influence, and it's now seen as an archaic relic, something that you know, has lost any meaning in society today. And as a result of that, the church is often scorned and ridiculed. Christians are viewed as hypocrites, and that's really sad, you know. But Bible-believing Christians, serious Christians, are viewed as delusional imbeciles. You know, that we must be absolutely crazy to believe the things that we do. Worse still, serious Christians are Bible-believing Christians are seen as intolerant, bigots, fanatical people, the scourge and the source of trouble in society today. And so we see that the church has been ridiculed and sidelined because of the compromise that has crept into the general picture of Christianity. And so the more the church, the salt of the earth, compromises, the greater the darkness becomes. And if you look around at society today, you'll see just how badly the world has become because the church has compromised and men are seeking for a different way to live. Look around you at society. Women and children are beaten and abused. physically and sexually. Society is marred by violence. People are murdered and raped. Even in this beautiful, fair country of New Zealand, you're seeing it has been marred by the ravages of sin. Schools are plagued by bullies, so much so that kids are actually committing suicide as a result of that. Gangs are roaming the streets, peddling drugs and every illicit and immoral thing. Violence is wreaking havoc everywhere we go in the cities. You cannot escape it. And I think the real reason is that because the church has lost its influence. It's lost its ability to be the voice of the people. Why? Because the compromise has crept in. So this was the whole reason Israel was in this mess. They had compromised in the first place because the laws, they were doing the things that God had prohibited, and they were copying the heathen and the land. And as a result of that, they went into captivity. And so Israel took the easy way out, compromising, trying to fit in. But it only leads to bondage. That's the great lesson for us. We can see from history, every time you bow down and you compromise, it leads to bondage and it leads to problems and difficulties. So the question for us today is, who are we going to serve? Are you going to compromise or are you going to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? That's the mighty question that we have to answer for each and every one of us. Compromise is taking the easy way out, going along with the crowd, seeking the world's acceptance. Compromisers do that which is popular, not what's right. And this is the plague that has hit the church in such a devastating way. And we need to make sure that as we serve the Lord, that we are wholeheartedly following God and really trying to root out every nook and cranny where compromise exists in our life. Because ultimately, if we don't do that, we'll find ourselves in bondage. So, it's really quite a prevalent thing and throughout all society. Compromisers do that which is popular. Even our leaders, our political leaders and leaders in society, they're not leaders anymore. They don't have an idea and stand on a value and push that. What political leaders do now is they take a poll, they take a census. What does everybody feel? What is the most popular thing to do? And so they're governed by polls rather than principles. And as a result of this, we see that society is going further and further into the darkness. In the 12th verse of Daniel chapter 3, we see that there were a few of the Jewish remnant that refused to compromise. Great men and really committed to the Lord. And we read in Daniel chapter 3 in verse 12 this: certain Jews have not regard to thee. This is what was told to King Nebuchadnezzar, that there were certain Jews that had no regard for what the king had said. And so what that tells us is that most of Israel had compromised. They had gotten along to get along. And it is certainly the easy thing to do. Most were willing to worship the golden image because of the penalty of death, even though it was strictly prohibited by God. How does this apply to us? When we're at work and everyone's telling dirty jokes, swearing and gossiping, do you join in? Do you join in or do you stand out? Do you reflect the Lord and his values, or do you sort of blend in with the crowd? And I kind of think of them as chameleon Christians. They fly the flag of the color of the people that they're with. They just blend in with the crowd. But every time we do that, the darkness becomes a little deeper and our light shines a little less. And it's really a devastating thing. So the question that I want to ask you this morning is, what does it take for you to compromise, to give in to fleshly temptation, to do that which is forbidden. You know, there's always a tendency for a Christian to have a kind of Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde kind of concept. Where in church, we're all wonderful and, oh, praise God and hallelujah. We can trot out all the Christianese. But when we go into the work environment, suddenly that's all gone from our vocab, and we conduct ourselves and deport ourselves as exactly the same way as the world. We don't stand out. We are not leaders. We are fitting in to going along to get along. So the big thing is that compromise is really a test of our character. God is looking at us in every circumstance that we find ourselves when we are tempted to compromise. God is looking at it. It's a test of our character. How will you respond to the test? What will you do in a time when you are tempted to compromise? You know, it's been well said that character is what you are. Reputation is what people think you are. And sadly, there's a difference between the two. Israel's character was being tested, and sadly, they fell short of the goal. They were much like the church today. It's a very similar situation. I love what Bob Gass says. He said, character does what's right, not what's easy. It's controlled by values and not moods. It looks for solutions, not excuses. Man, that is powerful stuff. You know, we need to be a people that are controlled by values, that we stand up for principles. Let those guide us. Let those be the foundation of it. Every time we don't live by that, the darkness grows a little darker. And so we need to be in every reference of our walk with God, in every area, whether it's at work or whether it's home, we need to be aware of compromise, because it's our character that's been tested. And the world desperately needs Christians with moral character. I want you to think about that just for a moment. The world desperately needs Christians with moral character. It's sick of the phony hypocrites that say one thing and do another. Those money-grabbing shepherds who look after themselves and fleece the sheep. You know, the church has lost all credibility because of its hypocrisy, the lack of moral character in leaders and followers. And there is only one solution to this. We have to come back to being men and women of principle, men and women who refuse to compromise, to make a stand and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I know it's going to cost me. And friends, it will cost you. But if we're going to be true lights and true followers of Jesus, we cannot blend into the world. We must stand apart from it. We must show the world that we are different, that we are men and women of principle. It's really important, because the church has lost so much credibility. True leaders won't shy away from hard tasks. You know, every one of us is a leader in some capacity or other. Some of us lead in the home. Some of us lead in the workplace. Some of us lead in the community. Some in the political arena. We all have areas where we lead. But we need to make sure that our leadership is one that is governed by principle and character, that the word of God is the thing that underpins every decision that we live by. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. They were upholding God's word. And as we'll see, it was a very costly and difficult process for them. But character is so important in a Christian's life. And so the principle is, if you're going to be a man or woman of character, are you willing to lay down your life for the cause of Christ? That is a big call. And I think we need to cry out to God and say, God, help me, because I struggle with compromise. And I think every single one of us, in the depths of our heart, if we know that there are areas in our life where we struggle with compromise, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about a strength in us, so that we can be men and women of character, so that we can be those that shine as beacons in a dark and dying world, that we are living by principle and not by popular demand. So Our character is what's been tested. We need men and women of principle and character in the church. I love what W.H. Davis says about character. He says, character is the only thing that we make in this world which we can take into the next. The circumstances amidst which you live determine your reputation. The truth you believe determines your character. Reputation is what you're supposed to be. Character is what you are. Reputation is the photograph. Character is your face. Reputation comes over in one form or another, but character grows up within us. And so he goes on to say, and it's really relevant, is the reputation is made in a moment. Your character is built in a lifetime. Your reputation is learned in an hour. Your character doesn't come to light for years. Reputations grow like mushrooms. Characters grow like mighty oaks. Reputation is what men say about you on your tombstone. Character is what the angels say about you before the throne of God. I love that. It's really such an important distinction that we learn to be those mighty men and women of valor. D.L. Moody used to say, character is what a man or a woman does in the dark when no one is looking and no one is listening. That's what character is. Can you hold the line? Can you be a man or woman of principle when there's no one to hold you accountable, that you can do what you like? But character says, I am a child of God. I will not do it, even though I can do it. That is real character. And that's what's missing in the church today. We need to be men and women of principle that will stand firm, and it is going to cost. And we need to cry out to God, God, give me the strength so that I can be a man or woman of character and principle. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, cowardice asks, is it safe? Consensus asks, is it popular? Character asks, is it right? Man, we need to be those that are standing up for what is right, no matter how unpopular it is. We must pay the price for that which is right. Stand up for principles that are true. And I'm really believing that God is drawing people to a place where they say, I am going to stand. I'm going to make that commitment to follow the Lord and do that which is right. Let me say something to you that many Christians have been tempted to do, and it's such a trap of the devil. Let me say this. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. It is never right to do wrong in order to do right. Some people get confused. They're tempted to compromise God's standards. They say, God, if I do this, if I compromise, I will get this promotion. I will be in a place of power and authority, and I can be used for your glory. Let me tell you, once you've compromised, you've lost the moral authority to lead. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. We need to live by those words. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, we read about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar finds out about these certain Jews that have no regard to his word. And it says this in verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wow. The Hebrew here is incredibly interesting. The word certain Jews is the word gibbar. And gibbar literally means valiant, strong, or mighty men. Thank God for men and women of character, men and women who are strong, who are valiant, who will be mighty men and women of God. You know, in every generation, God raises up mighty men and women. Martin Luther stood up against the Catholic Church. Wesley was a leader in his times. Finney, these men were men of integrity and honor who proclaimed the gospel fearlessly and without regard to fear or favor. They proclaimed the truth in a day where it was not popular. God raise up men and women of character and principle, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, resisting the most powerful man in the world. Men of courage who will say no to the most powerful man on earth. No, I won't do wrong. I won't do that. It's immoral. I'm not going to be a part of it. I can't be bought. I can't be bribed, and I won't be manipulated. I will not bend. I will not buckle. You can do what you like to me, but I refuse to compromise. I serve the God of Israel. I won't give in. I will not be controlled, and I will not be dominated. I will not bow down before your idols. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what the church needs today. Oh God, please do a work in us that we might be such men and women. Men and women who will take a stand just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the last days, God is going to raise up courageous men. I can guarantee it. He's done it in every generation. Men and women like Paul who will fight the good fight of faith, that will do that which is good and noble. Men and women that will lead the fight in righteousness and teaching people to follow the Lord. I believe God's going to do that in the church again. And he's looking amongst us to say, who will follow me? Who wants to be a man or woman of character? It's going to cost you everything, but it's going to be worthwhile. If we will say, oh God, change me, Lord, that I might be unbound by the devil. Lord, that I will not compromise. I will not bend. That needs to be the cry of our heart. You know, God says to the church in every generation, the things that he said to Joshua, he said, be strong and be of great courage. And I believe God is saying that to us, be thou strong and courageous. Take your stand. Be like Shadrach. Stand against ungodliness. Be like David. Take the war to the enemy. Be like Shammah of old and drive the enemy from your inheritance. Be like Gideon and don't stop until you have the victory. Only be strong and courageous. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. Change us that we might be those men and women who refuse to compromise. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were dragged before an enraged king. He had been humiliated in front of all his vassal kings and everybody. He had people who were defying him. You can imagine how this most powerful man on the earth reacted. It was an embarrassment to him that he couldn't control the Hebrews, and he was going to extract a terrible revenge. He was going to cast them into the fire. And what follows is, in my opinion, one of the most powerful passages of Scripture. And in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, we read this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love this. The attitude is, hey, we don't care what we say to you. We're not intimidated, and we're not going to be pushed around by you. So he goes on in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us. What faith? Out of thy hand, O king. And this, to me, is probably the most beautiful verse in the Bible. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Such courage, such devotion, such commitment to God. Where are the men and the women in the church age in this day that have the same kind of commitment to God that says, God, I want to honor you. I will serve you as faithfully as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Give to me that power, that ability to stand in the face of opposition, to stand when all is against me, Lord. I will stand and be faithful and true. We're not careful how we answer you. We don't care what we say. We're not intimidated, O Nebuchadnezzar, by your threats and your controlled ranting and raving. Our God is able to deliver us out of thy hand, O King. You know, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, put their faith and their trust in God Almighty. They knew that their lives were at stake, and they said, Lord, I'm going to trust and I'm going to believe you. We need men and women who can walk in faith, had the same kind of commitment. You know, faith in a time of adversity, that's when most people crack, but that's when we need the greatest faith. You know, it's believing God in the darkest and blackest moments of our lives. Most people crack in those times. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hold true. They had strong faith. When your back's against the wall, that's the time to really believe. Don't doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. You know, Jesus said faith can move mountains. We can change society if we won't compromise. We can influence our environment if we'll be men and women of principles. But we need to have faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, you know, the mountains are figurative here. You know, they represent the problems or the obstacles that we face. And Jesus saying is faith is the answer to every problem that you are encountering. Our God is able. He's able to provide. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to lead and to guide. He's able to bless. He's able to make roadways in the wilderness where there seems to be no way. You know, he's able to save to the uttermost. Nothing is too difficult for our God. Look at your problems today. I don't know what you're facing, but I want to tell you, God is able to deliver you from it. God is able. Habakkuk 1:2, and I'm reading from the NIV, says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. Oh, let that be the cry of the church today. Lord, I have heard of the fame of your deeds. Renew them. There needs to be a cry in every true believer's heart for the glory and the power of God to be released into the church. But I don't believe God is going to pour out his power and his glory on a compromising, half-hearted, lukewarm church. We've got to come to that place where we sanctify ourselves and say, God, I'm going to follow you with all my heart and soul. And then I believe God will pour out his spirit in a new and powerful way. He'll make his fame heard again, and we'll see his awesome deeds. You know, we have to be a people of faith. We need to be strong in times of darkness. Many years ago, my son ended up being very ill, and we took him to the doctor. We didn't quite know what was wrong with him, and they ran a very extensive battery of tests, and they came back with the most devastating news that he had renal failure. And they said to us, you know, it's extremely serious. Normally 25 units of protein in your urine would be normal. 100 would be, you know, an extreme case. Rich's protein was something like 1,200 units, and so it was extremely bad. And they said, look, we need to prepare you for the worst. Your son is not going to live a normal life. In fact, he's probably going to die young, and you need to be ready for that. There's not much we can do. We can give him a kidney transplant, but even then he will never lead a normal life. When they said that to you, when they say that about your son, when this doctor in Manchester was supposed to be one of the esteemed renal specialists in the whole of the United Kingdom, when that man says those things to you, it pierces your heart. It's the most devastating news. Apparently, your child is going to die soon and not lead a normal life. And, you know, he'll be in a wheelchair probably, and when they were saying that, immediately something in our heart said no. And I looked at Fee, and we both shook our head. We were not going to receive that. We were not even going to contemplate it for a minute. We decided we would believe God for an absolute miracle. Everything in medical science said it's not going to work. And I said to him, what chance is there of this, of him recovering naturally? And he said, absolutely nothing. And there is nothing medical science can do for him. You need to accept this and you need to prepare for what is coming down the road. And in our hearts, Sophie and I said, no, absolutely not. We're going to believe God for a miracle. Cut a long story short, over a two-year period, every time we went, things just got worse and worse. And it was quite devastating, but we were determined not to let go of God. We trusted the word of God, and we'd get another bad report and another bad report, and we keep trusting the word of God. And we'd go back with new faith, and we'd get another bad report. It was a fight of unprecedented portions. I felt like I was fighting literally for the life of our son, and Fee felt exactly the same. And every time it was worse and worse. It was so hard just to maintain our faith. Everything inside of us wanted to give up. If I'm being really honest, the battle was immense. But we were determined to hold on to God and to believe God in the most difficult and trying circumstances. Again, making the story short, after about 2 years, We went in, and every time we went in, it had been worse and worse and worse. And the one day we went in there, and suddenly he'd gone from like 1,200 parts of protein down to about 100. So there had been an incredible, incredible difference in 1 week. The doctor really couldn't understand it. By the following 2 weeks later, he was absolutely normal. God had performed a miracle because we held true to the Lord. We refused to receive anything other than what God had promised. We stood in the face and everything was thrown at us. The kitchen sink came at us, but we believed the word of God. We stood in faith and we saw the miracle of God. And today, 20 years later, my son has never had an issue. He has led a totally normal life. He has played rugby. He's done boxing. He swims. He does weights. He leads his own company and is leading an absolutely perfectly normal life. And I want to give God all the glory and all the praise because this was entirely a work of God's grace. I believe God sustained our faith. I don't think without God's help that we could have stood in faith as long as we did, but God was there upholding us and encouraging us, trusting and filling us with faith and trust to keep on believing in a very difficult circumstance. I believe that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need to walk in faith in the midst of all these circumstances that we find ourselves. I want to tell you, the medical fraternity were dumbfounded. They can't believe how the turnaround that he has had. And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do for God? The days are miracles. God intervened. Don't let anyone tell you that the days of miracles are over. I think I may have turned over two pages. Doesn't matter. God is still a God of miracles. Look at verse 18 of Daniel chapter 3. And this is the thing that speaks to my heart. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And that's gutsy. That is so powerful. They're saying, hey, even if God doesn't deliver us, even if things don't go the way that we want them, even if all else, I am going to serve the Lord. I will not compromise. I will not bend. I will not break. I will serve the Lord. We will not bow, even if God does not deliver. No matter what the cost, we're going to honor the Lord. No matter how it turns out, God's going to be honored by my life. These are brave and courageous men. These are heroes of the faith. And we need men and women like that are going to stand for God in our time, in our age. People who stand out in the crowd who won't bow down, who will defy every tyrant and every bully, who will stand up against all evil, who will declare war on the enemy and refuse to surrender. You can throw them in jail. You can throw them in the lion's den. You can throw them into the fiery furnace. They will not give in. They will honor God with everything they have. They've become living sacrifices. And that's what Paul desires of us, that we would be living sacrifices. And we can do that by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. God wants to strengthen you and I and make us courageous men and women of God who are invincible to the corruption and the impurities of the world, that we can stand undefiled, pure and holy in God's presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will not bend and we will not break, and we'll bring glory unto the Lord. Christians who will be worth their salt, living sacrifices. You know, these kind of Christians don't serve God for what they can get out of it. They serve God because of who God really is. He is the captain of our salvation, our mighty warrior. He is the Lord of hosts. I love Psalm 93. And just permit me as we bring this to a close, just to read this to you. Psalm 93, it says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up their voice, O Lord. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." Our God is able. Can you shout amen? Can you believe that God is able to deliver you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Man, they didn't get delivered the way they thought it would happen. You know, they were actually, their worst nightmare happened, and God was with them in that fiery furnace. God was there, and the only thing that got burnt were the ropes that bound them. God set them free in the midst of that fiery trial, and they honored the Lord. They walked around unharmed because God was with them. God appeared in the fire, in the darkest, most difficult time. That's what God did for us when we were fighting for my son's life. God appeared to us and ministered to us. You know, when they finally were brought out of the fiery furnace, the Bible says they did not even smell of smoke. That's the power of God to deliver. That is, you know, you just stand next to a barbecue and you come away reeking of smoke. These guys were in the fiery furnace, bound. God delivered them. And when he brought them out, they didn't even smell of smoke. The result was a complete change in the spiritual climate. I want to tell you, you can change the spiritual climate of your work environment. You can change the spiritual climate of your community, of your home, whatever it is. You can change it if you will call out to God and say, "God, let me be a man or woman of principle and of character. Help me to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remove compromise from my life. Remove, Lord, any defilement and impurities from my life that I might be the man or woman of God." And the result was this complete spiritual change that took place in the nation of Babylon. Instead of persecution came praise. Came praise. Instead of scorn came honor. Instead of bondage came freedom. That is what this is all about. If we will hold on and the church as a whole comes back to being people of principle who will not compromise, who will be courageous and even walk into the darkest, most difficult circumstances that you can imagine and discover God in the midst of the flames, then you and can change your environment and the workplace around about you. Look what actually happened in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God." This is a heathen king praising the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to worship any god except their own. "Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." No other God can save in this way. It brought about a spiritual change in the nation of Babylon, that these men were now honored and esteemed. And in fact, if you go on to verse 30, you see how God promotes Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego through the king of Babylon. He raises them up to positions of power because they were fearless men. And folks, that's what we need. God, help us. Help us to be those that are willing to lay down our lives. Oh, take away the fear. Take away the despondency. Take away the compromise. God, come and change us. Let us be mighty men and women of valor. Let us be those valiant men and women. Gibar, Lord, let us be that. These certain people in this church age. Help my life to count for you. I want to ask us if we could bow in a words of prayer. And I want to ask you to pray and ask God to help you. I don't know what areas you attempted to compromise in. I think if we're truly honest before the Lord, each of us, all of us, have areas where compromise has crept into our life. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to expunge that from our life, that we might be true and faithful witnesses of God, that we might be a light in our workplace and in our homes, that we might be men and women of substance and of valor. God, work in us. I'm just going to ask if I can pray for you this morning. Lord, I really pray for everybody who's listening to my voice this morning that this would be a pivotal moment, that the power of the Holy Spirit will bring conviction about the compromise, Lord, in our area, whether we're compromising at work or compromising at home or compromising with our computer, wherever that compromise exists, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and cleanse and purge and sanctify each and every one of us. Lord, that you would renew that spirit within us, that the Holy Spirit would rise up powerful in our life. Lord, thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, that, Father, we can overcome compromise. We must overcome compromise. Help us to be men and women of principle. Lord, each and every one of us, I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to encourage you just as the day goes on at some point just to get alone with the Lord and just really seek him about the areas of compromise in our lives and ask God to help us to become mighty men or women, certain men, Gibar, men and women of God. So I pray that you would stick around for some fellowship. We're going to have some fellowship.